you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, June 4th, 2019. It's Ivan Parker weekend ahead of us, Marianne.
Oh, I love Ivan Parker when he comes.
He's coming to town this Saturday night. It'll be a great event for all. And if you haven't already gone online and reserved artist circle seating up front and close, along with a special meet and greet with Ivan at 6 p.m., I think some of the posters or some of the literature were saying 6:30, but we want to have Ivan right at 6.
Okay.
That way he has time to freshen up, get ready for the big concert, which starts at 7 p.m.
Okay.
So if you want special reserve seating, that way no matter what time you get there, you'll be in the first couple rows.
Mm.
Go to our website, greatnewsradio.org, and you'll see Ivan Parker's picture and a little link, and then you can register, and it's for $25.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's general open seating, first come, first serve. Doors open at 6:30.
And so, is that $10? Or?
That'll be anything, amount, $10, $20, $50, $100.
Oh, that's nice.
Whatever people want to give.
Okay.
So that way it's affordable.
So it's kind of a free will.
Yeah, free will offering. Love offering.
Okay.
So give generously, but come and enjoy a concert with Ivan Parker. His son, Josh, they always are a tag team. It's fun to see. They talk and share on stage, and he's very gifted on his guitar. I think he does Amazing Grace with his electric guitar.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Singing Men of GNN. I think this is the third or fourth time we've sung together, so we'll be singing three or four songs with Ivan.
He's very honoring of the singing.
He gets along. We have great chemistry or camaraderie together. And so the Singing Men, I think we're singing six or eight songs and then three or four together. In fact, there's one song that Ivan doesn't even know he's going to be singing. I said, aren't you going to contact him, Steve? Stephen McClary, director. He goes, oh, no, he's a professional. He'll get this one. I said, really? You're going to surprise him when we get there? He goes, oh, he'll know how to do this one. I can't remember if it's a portion of America, the Beautiful or something.
Okay.
But I was like, I still think you should kind of tell him ahead of time. No, he'll be fine. I'm like, you're pulling a Barrington Coleman on us. Because Barrington Coleman sometimes is like one rehearsal before a concert. He goes, I'm going to throw in this new song. And we're like, what? We've never sung this before. He's like, oh, you get it in your heart and you'll be fine.
You are kind of like the, what is that saying, the kettle calling the pot black or something, you know? You kind of do the, hey, let's do this. And right last
let's
minute.
Make an announcement right now. Let's do it.
Hey, let's do this on this date.
Well, that'll be happening this Saturday night, and it's right next door to Lincoln Square. It's at the First United Methodist Church of Urbana, right there on Race Street. You can park in at Lincoln Square and then walk right into the church, go up a flight of steps or take the elevator, and we'll meet in their sanctuary. So great accommodations, and it's going to be an exciting time. So if you want to close out your night with a worship service, come join us and find out more online, greatnewsradio.org. So that's this Saturday night, June 8th.
So
excited.
This is June the 4th. You realize July 4th is like 1 month away.
I do now. Yeah, wow, yeah.
I'm really thinking about July because we're working on the July Prime Lifetimes edition.
Yeah, and just getting the June edition out.
I know.
It's been exciting. In fact, new inroads in Georgetown, different parts in Indiana. In fact, those of you that knew, I was all excited last Friday. I was going to go to Clinton, Indiana and meet up with Robert and Darnell. They're supporters of the station. I think last Friday I was talking about doing that on the morning program.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for those of you that wondered what was going on with 89.3 FM, being on the air, off the air, it was kind of a disaster day. I never made it to Indiana because, well, it's a long and involved story.
Oh, do tell it.
And we will be reading a chapter, the second to the last chapter out of Memories of an African Son in a few minutes here. But in a nutshell, basically, the other day, I think I talked about this, went out to the transmitter and it was 120 degrees.
Yep, yep.
Two little AAA batteries had faulted. They had gone dead, knocked out the thermostat, and so then the air conditioning said, well, we're going to stop. And so I happened to think, you know, I better check this transmitter building. It was over 120 degrees. In fact, the thermometer went up to 120,
wow.
And the mercury was above that. I was like,
my
wow.
Word.
So opened up all the doors. I call Randy Houston, and I'm like, Randy, what's going on here? It looks like the breakers and everything are working, but there's nothing in the thermostat.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, maybe with the lightning strikes and the thunder and the storms we had the other day. Have you ever been in a house and the windows like shake and vibrate?
I have. It's terrifying.
Yeah. Well, he said maybe the batteries vibrated a little and separated. And I was like, oh, I would have never thought of that. So
yeah.
I popped off the cover and pressed on the batteries. And suddenly it did click on. I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, that was it. And then within 6 seconds, 10 seconds, low battery.
Oh.
And then it shut down. I was
uh-huh.
like, oh, help me, help me.
You called him back.
So, yeah. Well, no. So I race out. You're out in Fithian. There's nothing close by.
Yeah.
So I'm taking all these country roads. I find this KZ and I don't know, whatever town. Get the AAA batteries. Get back.
I thought you were going to say stop for pizza. But
yeah, yeah. So we fired it all up. I'm like, oh, thank you, God. That's working. But two of the transmitter power units, and they each cost $1,000, had faulted out and weren't working. So mm-hmm. we weren't at full power. We're still not at full power. So these power supplies are $1,000 each. But we had one as a backup.
Mm.
And then I thought, well, our WGNN transmitter, each transmitter has 5 power supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, WGNJ uses all 5 24 mm. hours a day at
wow.
all times. GNN has 5 power supplies, but they're all utilized at about, just say, 60%.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, you know, I can pull one out of that,
uh-huh.
still remain at full power with WGNN, take it out to the Fithian Tower, install the new one, and it'll just be hunky-dory. Everything will work, and
yeah.
then I'll order another power supply to replace the one missing
yeah.
from WGNN. So that was the plan.
So now everybody knows.
So I call up Bill Britt, a friend, supporter of the radio ministry. I'm meeting up with him to deliver newspapers, and he does the area around Georgetown
mm-hmm.
and Chrisman, Illinois, and a couple other places. I say, hey, Bill, I'm going to be at the Fithian Tower. You're a handyman kind of guy. Do you want to see how the transmitter works and how I do all this? And then I thought I could multitask. There was a fan filter on the back, and I thought, well, I'm working on this side. He can work on the back side. I'm trying to optimize when you're off the air, do as many things as you can do with the transmitter as you can. So I thought,
yeah.
both of us working at the same time. Anyway, so we go off the air. So he's working on the fan. I put in the 2 power supplies. He finishes his thing. We fire it all up, and I'm like, it's purring along back to
yeah.
full wattage, the 50,000 watts. I'm like, thank you, Lord. But I remember there was some time back, maybe about a year ago, where everything's purring along fine. I'm getting ready to leave, and all of a sudden, poof,
yeah.
and one of the power supplies faults. And
I remember
then
you talking
down.
About that.
Yeah, so I thought, Bill, let's just wait around a little
uh-huh.
longer. Let's just make sure everything's working, and the air conditioning's working fine. The transmitter's purring along. I have these 16 green lights. Everything's green lights, no faults. It's going. I'm like, let's a couple more minutes. I just want to make sure. Sure enough, great. Okay, it's time to leave for Indiana. I'm going to go have lunch
uh-huh.
with Robert and Darnell. I'm on the way to Indiana. I'm back on I-74, heading towards Covington, listening to 89.3 second. Oh, we're at full power. I can't wait to see how strong a signal it is throughout Indiana where I'm going.
Oh, my.
Off the air, no signal. I'm
really?
Like, oh, no. So I call Robert and Darnell. Hey, I'm going to be late. I got to turn around. I got to go back, see what this is. So we're off the air. So I get back to the tower, and the transmitter's turned off. Everything is dark here.
Oh,
a breaker switch must have got flipped. What happened? Everything was purring along. So I check all the breaker switches, and everything in the building's fine. I thought, well, there's some breaker switches outside. So I flip a couple, and then you hear something, and then poof, and then this smoking smell, and there's
oh
a surge protector outside that's kind of smoking.
I'm this
like,
was all very eventful.
I said, that is not a good sign.
No, that's clever. No, it's
so
not a
now,
good sign.
So now, at this point, it's beyond me. I call Randy Houston up.
Okay, that's how Randy comes.
And I say, Randy, help, what's happening?
A
breaker
nice
switch
guy.
Trip.
I like
yeah.
him.
So he says, I'm in Cisna Park. It'll be about 40 minutes. We'll
uh-huh.
come right out
well,
and we'll
so
look
nice
at things.
Again.
So he and his assistant came out. I call Robert and Darnell now for like the fourth time and say it looks like it's going to be at least 40 more minutes
oh.
and I don't know how long it's going to take to maybe
did
replace
you ever
the
make
surf.
It?
No. So
uh-huh.
anyway, it takes about an hour till they got out there. They're looking at things, and they said, well, actually, the transmitter's ready to go. This other breaker switch that was turned off is for the surge protection, and because it's all corroded and bad, it's really not functioning. We can replace that, but the transmitter can go back on because I'd already turned it off and turned off the breakers on it. Anyways, so we powered back up, but the power unit from WGNN that I'd put in there, that faulted, and that was dead. So then I ordered a couple more of those. But while Randy had the transmitter down, and you'll be able to see that picture on Facebook, he's laying on the ground. He said, you know, there's three giant fan motors in the back here, and that could be part of the problem on why these power supplies are faulting. They're overheating. And I said, you know, I ordered a couple fan motors a couple years ago, but they're really involved in putting in, and I've never gotten around to it. I mean, I can't do it, and I haven't gotten like an electrician or a specialist to do it. I said, might that be something you can do? And he goes, sure can try. So you'll see that picture on Facebook from a few days ago. Basically, he replaced two of these giant fan motors. They're like, I don't know, what is that, about 10 inches all around, and two of them were dead. So it took about 2.5 hours get everything apart and taken and put in. And so those of you that wondered what was happening at 89.3, we had different issues going on between power supplies going out. And then while the power supplies had faulted, we put in the new fans. So by the time we got that all up and running, it was now like 5 o'clock something. So the lunch date in Indiana just never happened. So I call him like the fifth time and say, hey, we'll have to do this another time. So maybe today or tomorrow I'm going to head out there. But
Robert and Darnell, you heard it here. He really did try.
Yeah, I think they knew that. And they said, well, let's reschedule for a different time. But for those of you that were tuned in wondering what was going on.
This is what was going on.
Yeah, power supplies, fan motors, surge protection failing. And
welcome to Mark's world.
All fixed. And it'll be good someday to have a full-time engineer that can look at all these things. Yeah. But thank you, God, that we have the resources.
Yeah, that's right.
We went in and had to withdraw some money so we could pay for these two power supplies, because that's $2,000.
But it was there. I mean,
and so,
that's a gift.
It was there. So.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, appreciate that. And thanks for your prayers. I know many times when we go off the air, people start praying away.
I like that.
So. Yeah, that was very eventful. So let's minimize any events or
let's not have drama.
Yeah. Let's all pray to eliminate drama.
Get you over to Indiana.
So Blood of the Martyrs, chapter 59. So we just have this week and then next Tuesday, and then we'll have to figure out what God will do with this time slot on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Mondays and Fridays.
And every day.
We'll keep Joey Crow always on Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So many people looking forward to that.
Yep.
All right. So
how are you going to transition into Blood of the Martyrs?
There's not much of a transition, is there, for such a sad subject? Chapter 59, Blood of the Martyrs. I was only 8 years old when I first heard of martyrs. I was sitting in the chapel service that was held each day at Johnson Bible College back in Tennessee. The tragic news that three women associated with the school had been shot down and then knifed to death in the Congo had just been announced. They were victims of the beginning unrest that would, many years later, envelop the entire Congo. A gasp went up from the crowd, and then a deafening silence fell, interrupted only by crying from various quarters of the building from friends who knew them. At 8, I could only piece together that they had been ruthlessly killed, that the details were too vivid to announce except in private, and that it had to do with their faith and being very much in the wrong place at the wrong time. It had not been long before that my father first went to Africa. Aside from the pictures that he brought back, the thought in the back of my mind was the memory of the three murdered women. So it was vaguely unsettling news to me to hear we were soon to be on our own way to Africa. We certainly did not suffer martyrdom in Africa, far from it. But other missionaries before and after us did, and most certainly many African people have. Africa has seen many martyrs for the Christian faith. In the 2nd century, even though the Roman Emperor Septimus Severus was himself born in Africa, violent persecution against Christians in Africa broke out. An individual accused of being a Christian was given the choice of either cursing the name of their Savior and making an offering to the Roman gods or facing execution. As was true elsewhere in that empire, under various Roman emperors, numerous African Christians were persecuted and killed for their faith, refusing to renounce their beliefs. Many were burned at the stake. Numbers of them were killed for refusing to submit their scriptures to be burned. Many historians think the persecution of African Christians was intense even under the famed Marcus Aurelius. Gesseric of the Vandals brought 80,000 people into Africa to lay siege to it around 430 AD. Many Christians were martyred, and the famous Augustine, also born in Africa, died while the battles raged as he struggled from his deathbed to save the library at Hippo. As history has marched on, thousands of African Christians have lost their lives in Sudan, Uganda, the Congo, and in many other places, for refusing to renounce their faith, or simply for being of the Christian faith, slaughtered before they even had the chance to speak. Thousands more have suffered long years of agony and persecution, including being kidnapped, imprisoned, or sold as part of the current modern-day slave trade. Africa is not alone in its history of Christian martyrs. It was the author of the book of Hebrews who wrote of those great saints of old, quote, "Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword, persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them." Hebrews 11:36-38. But the writer of Hebrews also said of those ancient saints, quote, "Who through faith shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful. Women received back their dead, raised to life again." Hebrews 11:32-34. I don't know why. Some face the sword for their faith, and others are brought to major victories over the evil in front of them. And sometimes it's the same people who experience both. I do know that we need to be prepared for both. We will probably not know until it's upon us if we have been called to follow Jesus to our earthly demise, or if we will be the instruments of powerful miracles of deliverance. I think Esther had it right when she said of her decision to try to save her people, "And if I perish, I perish." Esther 4:16. Because she truly did not know which way it would go or how it would all turn out. She only knew what she had to do. And that's how it was for us. We went to Africa half a century ago because we felt it was what God really wanted us to do. And in the end, it was one of the greatest gifts of my life. But we went because we felt led to, not because we knew ahead of time how it would go. It is a tragedy of human history, past and present, that there are individuals among us who will kill a person because they believe differently. I consider myself fortunate to have friends from every major religion and also from other lesser-known belief systems. And they are all generous, peace-loving people. And not one would consider murder because someone believed differently. To a person, each of them wants to live in a world where communication and peace flourishes. But there are clearly people who think different, terribly different. I don't know why the three girls in the Congo died so horribly, so long ago. But I do believe that their work and their lives matter just as much in the final story as those of us who have continued living on the earth. And I am telling a fragment, a memory of their story now, so long removed. I wish I could tell you their names, but my 8-year-old mind didn't retain that piece of information that day. only the horror of the events. But God does know their names. He knows the names of all the martyrs in Africa and elsewhere. In the book of Revelation, there's a famous scripture of the martyrs, now with God, calling out to ask when those who caused their martyrdom will be judged. Quote, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, 'How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?'" Revelation 6, 9-10. They're close to God, even now, it seems, waiting, waiting for something he is going to do. I find that an extremely sobering thought. Father, I pray that no one I know will be called on to die for their faith. But I also pray that they and I will have the courage to do so, should it ever be required of us. There are things in life that we cannot understand on this side of the veil, on this side of the future. The terrible fact that there are people on this earth who would kill because someone believes differently than they do is one of those things. But we see it. We see it around us. Give us courage to face whatever befalls us, but also give us protection in the name of Jesus.
Wow. I'm glad you ended in the name of Jesus, because he's the only one that can really resolve these kind of hard issues and why good people suffer and why people can take lives of people that have been innocent and loving and caring and wanting to do the best. And
so many martyrs for the faith.
Yeah. Chapter 59, Blood of the Martyrs, out of Memories of an African Son. We have one more week. Next week, we'll finish all 60 chapters.
Thank you.
I think we only have two copies still up in the counter.
Oh, I'm ordering more.
And get them.
Or order them from Amazon, too.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Marianne. Thank you for tuning in, everyone, today. We hope you're blessed by these various stories, these devotional thoughts, if you will. I love the closing prayers and how oftentimes you view Scripture, God's Word, to knit kind of the whole fabric of the story together as blessings. So, Memories of an African Son by Mary Ann Simpkins. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Mary Ann Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.